Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The NFL draft is now officially open.
Draft season is coming to a close. John Schmelk and Tony Pauline with you to glide you down to a nice landing here. The draft is in the books. We had our quick draft review on Saturday night of the draft. Go check that out. It's our previous one. We talk about favorite classes, best fits, worst fits, best late round sleepers, all that sort of stuff. So make sure you go check that out on our draft season podcast feed. Today, we'll go a little bit longer. We'll try to give you 90 seconds or maybe 2 minutes on every NFL team and what they did in the draft. And then we're going to have one more episode coming your way next week. Tony will give us our way too early look at the 2024 class and give everybody some homework to do, including me, over the next 4 or 5 months. Because I know about three names. Tony's got the rest of them. Caleb Williams, yay. Marvin Harrison Jr., woo. And then we'll figure out what other guys could be big-time prospects coming out in next year's NFL draft. But for now, we're going to go division by division, team by team. We're going to start with the AFC East. And, Tony, we might as well start with the Buffalo Bills, who trying to make a run here. They lost some team players in free agency last year, and I'll go through the names very quickly for each team. Tight end Dalton Kincaid, round one. Osiris Torrance in round two. Dorian Williams, linebacker Tulane, round three. Justin Shorter, the toolsy big receiver from Florida in round five. Then two round seven picks in Nick Broeker and Alex Austin. I like the Dalton Kincaid and Osiris Torrance picks. I think they're walk-in starters for Buffalo. Your thoughts on the class?
Yeah, I don't think it's making a run. They want those last pieces to get them over the hump, you know, to get them into the Super Bowl. I thought they did a good job making the trade up to get Dalton Kincaid, which is a need. I mean, he's going to add an extra body on that tight end position, another pass-catching threat. They needed offensive linemen. Osiris Torrance, I don't know if he's going to be a day one starter, but he has starting potential down the road. Dorian Williams fits that scheme, sort of the undersized one-gap linebacker that's terrific running the ball. Justin Shorter will be interesting to see. I had Justin Shorter on my tight end board. I think he's a move tight end, or he's a bigger receiver. He's a solid pass catcher. That's no doubt about it. And they're going to have a decision. They're going to have to make a decision with Gabe Davis soon. He could fit in there. Nick Broeker could be a major steal. I mean, 2 years ago, we were talking about Nick Broeker as a potential day two pick at left tackle. He moved into guard. His play is kind of leveled off, but he's a solid player. Doesn't have the great upside, but he's fundamentally sound, he's smart, and he's tough. That could be a seventh-round steal, the Nick Broeker.
All right, let's go to the Dolphins here, Tony. Limited picks from a lot of the trades they made, like the one for Tyreek Hill. Cam Smith, a cover corner, probably best impressed man in round two. Devon Achane, boy, I mean, you want speed at running back, and that's what Mike McDaniel's got with him. I think he'll be a part of a timeshare backfield. Elijah Higgins, who's kind of that move tight end, wide receiver type in round six. And then Ryan Hayes, who's, I guess, a developmental tackle who has some tools, but he hasn't quite put it together yet in round seven.
I think Hayes is going to be a guard. I can't see him a tackle. He doesn't have the movement skills, but I think he's a good seventh round pick at guard. We talked about Cam Smith. In my opinion, it was a head scratching choice. You look at the players they have at cornerback. You look at the sort of off the field character baggage that Cam Smith brings. I don't know why they went that direction. Achane is a terrific player. I mean, he's going to be a perfect fit as a situational ball carrier, pass catcher, the speed, the ability to create in space. And Elijah Higgins, you know, like you said, I mean, they lost Gesicki, right, in free agency. They need a tight end. I've always projected Elijah Higgins to tight end. He's always been on my tight end board. I believe he told you at the Senior Bowl that teams were talking to him as – about moving to the move tight end position. If that works out, that could be a major steal in the sixth round.
Yeah, he could be a move tight end to replace Mike Gesicki there for Miami in their offense. All right, let's go to the Patriots, Tony. And I think it's rare. You look at the New England draft and you're like, oh, you know what? I think there's something here to this draft. They moved down in the first round, still get Christian Gonzalez. Keon White is such a fit for what they do. I think pick 46 is about where he should have been, not in like that 25 range where he was in some mocks. Marte Mapu, the linebacker, kind of safety pass rusher, combo player in round three, maybe a little early. Jake Andrews out of Troy and Chad Ryland, the kicker in round four, maybe a little early. I like Sidi Sow in round four out of Eastern Michigan. Antonio Mafi, I think, is a good round five guard. They pick a wide receiver with some traits in Kayshon Boutte in round six. And then they round it out with Demario Douglas, who I know a lot of people like out of Liberty. Bryce Barringer, another kicker. Two kickers for the Patriots. And then Amir Speed and Isaiah Bolden. Your thoughts from New England?
A lot of good defensive talent at the top. A lot of potential steals at the bottom. Christian Gonzalez, we spoke about him. He was my highest rated cornerback. He was a top 10 pick. He's got a terrific upside. He's great in man coverage. I think Belichick is going to have a field day with this guy. Keon White, perfect fit for the system. Outstanding athlete. He's got to get a little bit stronger. He's got to show some durability. Mapu, I was not as high on as a lot of people. Mapu, as we saw at the Senior Bowl, just blew up the Senior Bowl. I mean, he's a bigger college safety who projects as a one-gap, you know, linebacker, which, again, Belichick, I think, will have a field day with. Was not a big fan of the Jake Andrews selection. Chad Ryland went early, although I knew they liked him and they were going to play. I love Sidi Sow. I mean, he's the prototypical New England Patriot, big body, wide body, you know, moves very relatively well. Guard, interior offensive lineman, the Patriots will have success with. Mafi's got a lot of upside, but he needs work. Boutte's got tremendous upside. It's just a matter of lighting a fire underneath him. Barringer, I think, will make the team. I love the pick of the Mario Davis in the sixth round. Absolutely love it. And if you know, you look at the Patriots, they've always had success with these smaller, quick receivers. I had Demario Davis as a fifth-round pick. I think with Boutte and Demario Douglas. I think in Boutte and Douglas, they got two potentially tremendous receivers. You know, the Patriots have had a tough time developing receivers that they take early in the draft. They take these guys late in day three. I think they're both potential home run selections for the team.
I agree. I think the Patriots did really, really well. All right, let's go to the New York Jets, final team in the AFC East, Tony. Will McDonald to pick 15, maybe a little high, but I think he does give you some real legitimate edge, quick, bendy pass rush ability. Joe Tippmann in round two, a pick 43. Will he be a guard? Will he be center? We'll see. Good athleticism there from him. Carter Warren, offensive tackle out of Pittsburgh in round four. His teammate, Israel Abanaconda out of Pittsburgh, who tested really well in round five. Zaire Barnes from Western Michigan, a linebacker in round six. Jarek Bernard-Converse, a cornerback from LSU in round six. And then I can't believe Zach Kuhn's last at the round seven, Tony. The way he's tested, and you see the athleticism on tape, the transfer of Penn State to Old Dominion, the tight end in round seven, that was probably my favorite value pick for the Jets. I think he can develop into something.
Absolutely. I mean, it was the injury. It was the lack of playing last season, at Old Dominion. I don't think he was able to develop his game on the field. He was okay at the Shrine game. He wasn't great, but he was highly graded coming into the season by scouts. They thought he was a day two pick. You know, Joe Douglas really transformed that tight end position for the Jets last year, selected Jeremy Ruckert in the third round. You can say Zach Kuntz is a better pick in round seven than Jeremy Ruckert was in round three last year. And I thought that was great value for the Jets. You start at the top with Will McDonald. I think my problem with Will McDonald was it's earlier than Will McDonald should have gone. And this is the same team that traded up to get Jermaine Johnson late in round one last year. So yeah, you can never have too many pass rushers. You can never have enough pass rushers, I should say. But the fact is the Jets are in win-now mode. And with Jackson Smith, Nick Jigba still on the board, Jets needing a receiver, you got to win now with Aaron Rodgers. I thought that would have been a better fit. And I had Smith, Nick Jigba rated higher. Joe Tippmann, I know there was a little controversy in the war room there. Joe Douglas wanted the bigger punch-in-the-face type of mauler centers. So the coaching staff wanted Luke Whipler, more of the move, zone-blocking center. Douglas won out. Tippmann's got great upside. They signed Connor McGovern to a one-year backup sort of deal. I think Tippmann will be the starting center come October. Carter Warren, again, he's not going to give you early returns because he got the injury. I think if Carter Warren had finished out the season and hadn't gotten injured and then was able to play in the postseason, Carter Warren is a third or fourth round pick. So I think this is potentially very good value but I don't know what's going to help the Jets in 2023. Abanikanda, they've got a great stable of running backs. He's just one more. He's a bigger back who's very effective in space. Zaire Barnes, I had him as an undrafted free agent. I don't think the Jets had to use a six-round pick on him. He is a one-gap, pursuit, athletic, run-and-chase linebacker who's very fast going sideline to sideline. Fits the system, but again, I think they could have signed him as a free agent. Jarrett Bernard Converse has been up and down. He hasn't shown a lot of consistency. Tested well right before the draft, which I think really helped him. He's got a lot of upside. But if he consistently played to the level that scouts thought, you're probably talking about a fourth-round pick rather than a sixth-round choice.
All right, let's go over to the AFC North, Tony. Zay Flowers, the first-round pick for the Baltimore Ravens. We'll start there. Trenton Simpson in the third round. A lot of people at some point had him as a late first-round mock. I had him more as a late second-round pick, so I think that's good value there. And he'll kind of replace Patrick Queen, who they did not pick up their fifth-year option on. Tavius Robinson in round four, an edge player out of Mississippi. Caillou Blue Kelly, the cornerback out of Stanford. Tony, you said you thought he was more like a fifth-round pick. That's where they got him. Malasala Omvelalu, the offensive tackle out of Oregon, around six. And then I thought really maybe their best value pick was Andrew Voorhees, who tore his ACL with the combine out of USC. If he's healthy, he's probably going three rounds earlier than that. They get him in round seven.
Absolutely. A big, tough, a Baltimore Ravens type of offensive lineman. You know, a big, tough mauler, very smart. You can see the football intelligence and a guy who works the finish blocks. Zay Flowers, you know, I like the receiver. I just don't know about the fit because the fact is the Baltimore Ravens have failed year after year after year on wide receivers that they have taken in the first round. And sometimes that's an epidemic with certain teams. You know, you look at the quarterback position, you look at cornerback position, same teams keep drafting certain positions high and keep failing. So maybe Zay Flowers breaks the trend and they want another pair of hands after that huge contract they gave to Lamar Jackson. Trenton Simpson and Tavius Robinson, they're both similar types of players. They're great athletes. They cover a lot of area on the field. The instincts are questionable. When it comes to Robinson, the motor is also questionable. You know, here's a guy who should have been much better than he actually was. You're right about Trenton Simpson, but the thing about Simpson is he was able to recover from mistakes that he made on Saturday because of the speed. You can tell that he does a little bit more thinking than reacting, which is a concern. Kelly, I know a lot of people were high on Kelly. Struggles in man-to-man coverage. Never gets his head back around. There's a lot of face guarding. You got to play him in zone. I like Lealu a lot. I think I had him as a seventh-round pick. He's a bigger, tough offensive lineman. Absolutely fits the Ravens system. I wouldn't be surprised if he makes the active roster in September.
All right, let's go over now to the Cincinnati Bengals, Tony. And I love the Bengals draft. I think they knocked it out of the park. It was one of my favorites when we did our show on Saturday. Miles Murphy, good value at 28, edge player out of Clemson. DJ Turner, good value at pick 60 in the second round. I know you love him. Jordan Battle, good solid safety in round three. Charlie Jones, I love him. I think he's your eventual replacement for Tyler Boyd. You can't pay everybody on that offense. And speaking of which, eventually Joe Mixon's not going to be there on a big money contract either. Chase Brown could be his replacement around five, the running back at Illinois. Andre Yeshivas out of Princeton. Round six, a big toolsy wide receiver. Brad Robbins, the punter out of Michigan, around six. And then DJ Ivy, DB out of Miami in round seven. I thought the Bengals had a phenomenal draft.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, Miles Murphy's just a value pick. They got two good pass rushers there. They add another one in the stable, which is a plus. And I think Miles Murphy was probably drafted a half a round later than what his grade warranted. And then they come back around in round two, and they get the cornerback, DJ Turner, that they were thinking about taking in round one. And I mean, here's a guy, I think he's going to be immediate starter as your nickelback, your slot corner, call him whatever you want. I think he's ridiculously underrated. Great ball skills. Ran 4.26 at the combine. The only thing is he's a little bit smaller. Jordan Battle doesn't have the speed of, say, a DJ Turner, but he's smart. He's tough. He can cover, and he's a terrific run defender who will also add value on special teams. Charlie Jones, I would agree with you. Just got to stay healthy. He's got some hip issues. Chase Brown, I would agree with you. Sort of a situational back, a hard-running ball carrier who gets the most from his ability. The kid from Princeton has got a high upside. DJ Ivy's not a bad pick either. He's been a solid cornerback at Miami of Florida. Nickelback will have to make it on special teams.
Yeah, I think they did really well. Let's go to the Browns. Not many picks here because of the Deshaun Watson trade, Tony. They didn't select till round three. They got Cedric Tillman at pick 74. Good value. I thought he was more like a second-round pick. Siaki Siaki Ika out of Baylor, the big, massive defensive tackle in round three. Browns need to shore up their run defense. I'm sure that's why they drafted Ika. Then they stuck with size. They found someone bigger than Ika, which is hard to do, and DeJuan Jones in the fourth round at pick 9. Maturity issues there, according to a lot of the reports, and your reporting, quite frankly, Tony. Isaiah McGuire, nice edge rusher. I like that value, Tony, in round four, pick 126. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the quarterback out of UCLA in round 5 to play behind Watson. And then you have Cameron Mitchell, the cornerback out of Northwestern, round 5. And then finally, Luke Whippler, who again might have been my favorite value pick for them. I don't know how he falls to round 6. That's crazy talk to me. You know, if they can figure out Whippler and DeJuan Jones, Tony, Cleveland potentially got 2 starting offensive linemen on day 3 of this draft, which would not be bad for them at all.
Like you said, they didn't have a pick until what, number 74, the third round. But I really think the Browns knocked it out of the park. All of these guys have the opportunity to make the active roster. Tillman, I thought, was just tremendous value. Not a speed receiver, not a downfield threat, but I've talked about him multiple times on the show. Very reliable, catches the ball well, plays the receiver position like a linebacker, and he finds ways to separate. And even when he's away from the ball, he's working hard. Blocking defensive backs, intimidating opponents. Thought it was great value. Same thing with Ika. Fits their system. Some people thought second round. He's a bit one-dimensional. He's more of a gap occupier, occupies the blocks rather than a playmaker, but still good value. You mentioned DeJuan Jones, as I said on Saturday. If you want the blueprint on how to really destroy your draft grade and hurt yourself prior to the draft, look at what DeJuan Jones did. We both saw him that first day at Senior Bowl practice, and he was dominant. He was absolutely outstanding. And since then, it was downhill. He's getting what he deserves. You know, if the light goes on, this can be a great pick for the Cleveland Browns. If DeJuan Jones remains being the DeJuan Jones that we have seen since the second day of Senior Bowl practice, he's going to be bouncing from practice squad to practice squad, from team to team. He'll never have an NFL career. Isaiah McGuire, I thought, was great value in the fourth round, the smaller, quick, explosive, hardworking edge rusher. I love the pick of Dorian Thompson-Robinson. I mean, in the best-case scenario, they got a backup quarterback. In the worst-case scenario, they got a backup quarterback. In a best-case scenario, they got a quarterback that they can develop and then trade for more draft capital down the road. Cameron Mitchell has got a good amount of upside, potential dimeback. Luke Whippler fell for a couple of reasons. Short arms, 31, I think it was 31 and a half inch arms. He's a little bit smaller, and he's solely a center. If you look at all the centers that were selected before Luke Whippler, they're multi-purpose, and you talked about it with Joe Tippmann, can play guard or can play center. Luke Whippler is solely a center, which is why he fell. He's solely a center with short arms, which is why he fell. I talked to people in the league. They're like, yeah, you know, I don't know why he slipped by us, the Arizona Cardinals, but he kept sliding and sliding and sliding. And this could be one of the better picks, really, of the whole draft, because Whippler could be starting by the end of his rookie season.
All right, final team in the AFC North, Tony, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They trade up a couple spots to get Broderick Jones, the last really starting caliber off the bus offensive tackle in this class, depending on what you think of Antoine Harrison. Then with that pick they got in the Chase Claypool trade, they select Joey Porter Jr., a player that I think might have been in play for them at pick 14, to be honest with you, with the first pick of the second round. You know they wanted him because you know they were getting calls to trade that pick. Keanu Benton, I thought at pick 49, is really good value, good two-way defensive tackle. Darnell Washington, who dropped because of some medical issues, round 3, pick 30, a lot later than some people had him, two-way tight end. Nick Herbig, pass rusher, a lot of people really like out of Wisconsin in round 4. Then Corey Trice in round 7, someone with all the physical tools you want. And then Spencer Anderson, a guard out of Maryland. I thought the Steelers had a really nice draft.
Really well. I mean, they fill a need at the all-important left tackle spot by basically moving up 3 spots or 4 spots, whatever it was, and basically snagging the left tackle, Broderick Jones, away from the New York Jets. Although I'm told there was some question as to whether or not the Jets actually would have selected Broderick Jones if he's there. Athletic guy, zone blocker, has got growth potential, long arms, great length, and did a great job at the Georgia the past 2 years. Joey Porter Jr., I agree with you. I mean, a lot of us, including myself, thought, you know, mid to late first round. I had said that it was between him and Deontay Banks for that third cornerback spot. It turned out to be the kid from Mississippi State. There was concerns that Joey about his lack of production.
Actually, Tony, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Gonzalez ended up being the third one. Forbes went before Gonzalez.
There you go. You're right. I apologize. Thank you for bringing that up. There you go. This way, I can't get killed on Twitter.
which was crazy, by the way. But you know.
Agreed. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, you're spot on. And the thing about Porter, the reason Porter fell was the lack of production, lack of ball production, and teams were concerned that he's very grabby. There's a lot of holding. Benton is a perfect fit for that system. He's an athletic guy. He's just got to play stronger. Darnell Washington fell because of injuries, because of character issues. Plus, I mean, Darnell Washington, as we talked all along, is, you know, everybody loved his size, but he's more of a plodding type of tight end. I know he ran 4.6 at the combine, but he doesn't play to a 4.6. You know, he's a glorified number two tight end, Darnell Washington, in my book.
He reminded me a lot of Jelani Woods last year, where he tested well, but then you watch the tape and you're like, that does not look like a really athletic player.
And Jelani Woods ran a lot faster than Darnell Washington, from what I remember. And Washington's going to be good in the red zone. He's going to be good in all those third down situations. You throw him the jump ball. He's going to go up and get it. He's a good blocker. But again, a glorified number two. I thought Herbig was excellent value in the fourth round. I thought Corey Trice was a great seventh round pick. You know, maybe a cornerback, maybe a safety, a tough physical guy. You know that you like him. He's got decent speed, was highly rated coming into the season. Like Luke Whipler, probably should have gone three rounds earlier than he was actually selected.
All right, let's go now to the AFC South. Tony, we'll start the Houston Texans, CJ Stroud. Then they trade up for Will Anderson. I know you love the player. I went back and I looked at this, Tony. It's not quite one-to-one, but it's close. They almost gave up all the draft capital they got in the Deshaun Watson trade to go get Will Anderson. So this guy better be special if you get a trade that much for him. They're placing a big bet on Will Anderson Jr. in that trade up with Arizona. Juice Scruggs, end of round two, center out of Penn State. Tank Dell in round three, athletic wide receiver. Dylan Horton, I thought, was a little bit early in round four out of TCU. Henry Toa, linebacker at Alabama. I thought that was pretty good value in round five. I like Jarrett Patterson. Round six, I think, is a good fit for him. Round six, Xavier Hutchinson. I thought that was really good value, wide receiver out of Iowa State. And then Brandon Hill, the safety out of Pittsburgh. So I like the very beginning. I don't love the trade. And then I love some of the guys they got on day three.
Listen, the trade was basically a compromise between Cesario and the head coach. They were sitting there at two. The head coach wanted the defensive player, D'Amico Ryans. He was going to, you know, when Will Anderson, he sees a guy that he can do basically everything with. And Cesario realizes he needs a quarterback for him to have any chance of keeping his job. So that trade was the result of a basically compromise. You know, one guy wanted the defensive player. The other guy wanted the quarterback. They made the trade. They ended up getting both. We'll see. I mean, yeah, they gave away a ton. But if C.J. Stroud turns into their starting productive quarterback and plays well on a consistent basis, and Will Anderson becomes the player we all think he can be, an impact defensive player, it's well worth all the draft capital they gave away. Juice Scruggs is, we talked about Luke Whipler early on. Juice Scruggs is a guy who did a terrific job at guard in 2021, made the successful transition to center. I talked to Juice Scruggs, and Juice Scruggs has got a chip on his shoulder because he was looked at as the fourth center out of the Big Ten. Forget about the fourth center. Tippmann, John Michael Schmitz, Luke Whipler, and then it was him. So he was an afterthought. So he had a bit of a chip on his shoulder, and he's a terrific player. Tank Dell, we saw him at the Senior Bowl. No one can cover him. I'm going to slightly disagree with you. I understand. I had Dylan Horton as a fourth-round pick. He's got tremendous potential. He's a tremendous athlete. If you can just harness what he did against Michigan on a consistent basis, watch out. You got a great selection. Totoa, I like a lot. Wasn't the fastest guy, but very instinctive. I think Patterson's another guy, can play center or play guard. I thought he was good value. Hutchinson was outstanding value in the sixth round. Bigger, somewhat slower, maybe a slot receiver, outside guy. Incredibly reliable. I mean, just great hands with a multitude of quarterbacks.
Good route runner.
For Iowa State. Brandon Hill, I thought he was a bit overrated. I thought he should have gone back. And I was proven right by the fact that he's a seventh round choice.
All right, let's go now to the Indianapolis Colts. This is one of my favorites, Tony. It has nothing to do with Anthony Richardson at four. They'll develop him. We'll see how that goes. I think Shane Steichen's the right guy to be with him there, considering what he did with Jalen Hurts. We'll see if he starts day one. Julius Brents in round two at pick 44. They traded back in order to get Julius Brents. Josh Downs in round three. I love Josh Downs. Perfect fit next to two very big wide receivers in Pittman and Pierce. I think he'll be a nice safety blanket for whatever quarterback starts with him this year. Brake Freeland, a developmental tackle in round four, needs to add some strength. Adetami Adebare, who, you know, I didn't think he would go end the first round like some people were talking about because his tape wasn't that good. But I thought he also played out of position. I think you put him at the three technique all year. He's going to be a disruptive player. Round four, I think, is a steal. Darius Rush in round five, I had him as a day two player. We watched him at the Senior Bowl, Tony. He's a late convert to cornerback. He was running routes for wide receivers in Mobile. He was fantastic. Loved Darius Rush. Ran a sub-4.440. Really good player. Then I'm going to just roll through very quickly these last group of picks here. You got Daniel Scott, safety out of Cal. Will Mallory, tight end Miami. Evan Hole, running back Northwestern. Good two-way back there. Titus Leo out of the NEC. Wagner, Staten Island, stand up. Round 6, Jalen Jones, Texas A&M cornerback, and then Jake Witt, the offensive tackle out of Northern Michigan in round number 7. And, you know, traits. This was a traits draft.
Other than their two picks in the 7th round, I thought they did a great job, especially on day 3. I think, unfortunately, people are going to dictate the finality or the final grade on this draft on how Anthony Richardson ultimately does, and that's a shame. Brents has got great upside. You mentioned Downs, who was terrific value in the 3rd round. You know, 4th round, they get Freeland and Adebowari. Adebowari slipped because of the lack of production. The film wasn't that great, and he was sort of a tweener. You know, you mentioned it, out of position at Northwestern. Is he defensive end? Is he 3 technique tackle? He's a terrific football player. You talked about Rush. Darius Rush could turn into a better cornerback on Sunday than Cam Smith, his teammate, who was taken in the 2nd round. Daniel Scott, a tough downhill, heady safety. Some people thought he could go 2nd day. I had him 4th, 5th round. Will Mallory is a guy who 2 years ago, you thought Will Mallory was going to be a day 2 pick. His game kind of leveled off. He had a terrific combine. If he can get his game back to where it was, this is a great find. Evan Hull, I thought, was great value in the 5th round. You know, not the shiftiest guy, not the most creative guy, but someone who does the little things well and a terrific pass catcher out of the backfield. Titus Leo is going to be, you know, your situational pass rusher coming out of a 3-point stand over tackle. He's quick. He's explosive. He plays like his hair's on fire. He's a go, go, go guy who also brings special teams potential.
All right, million picks here for Jacksonville. So I'm going to roll through these here pretty quickly. Anton Harrison, they need the replacement for Juwan Taylor, plus Cam Robinson suspension. Brenton Strange, tight end, Penn State, end the round 2. A little rich for me. Tank Bigsby, running back, round 3. Ventrell Miller, linebacker, Florida, round 4, along with Tyler Lacy, defensive in Oklahoma State. A couple fifth-rounders, Tony, Yasir Abdullah out of Louisville. Antonio Johnson, I think good value there at A&M in round 5. Parker Washington, the run-after-catch receiver from Penn State in round 6. Christian Braswell, cornerback, Rutgers. Eric Hallett, defensive back, Halle maybe, defensive back, Pittsburgh. Then round 7, Cooper Hodges, Raymond Vohacek, and Derek Parrish, edge out of Houston. Your thoughts on this class?
I like a lot of the players. I think some of these players were selected much earlier than I had them graded. It's almost like, you know, they own the 5th and 6th round, and they had all these picks and are like, you know, they almost like they were throwing darts at a dartboard. Anton Harrison, I think that was a neat pick. I thought all along it's going to be Deontay Banks. Cam Robinson gets suspended right before the draft. Now you got your franchise quarterback entering the season without his 2 starting tackles last year because they lost the right tackle in free agency. Brenton Strange, I would agree with you. It's a bit of a reach. I had him as a late 3rd round, early 4th round pick. Hopefully, I guess their plan is to develop him behind Evan Engram. Tanks Bigsby, I thought was a good pick. Ventrell Miller and Tyler Lacy, I had him much later in the draft. They're both one-gap defensive type of players. I like Miller. He goes sideline to sideline. Had an injury and really wasn't able to do anything before the draft, which I think hurt him, but you watch the film and it's really good. Abdullah is a solid, you know, pass-rushing linebacker who can also play in space. Antonio Johnson, I was not as high in Antonio Johnson as other people. He's your, you know, he's your throwback safety who I think is going to struggle over the slot receiver.
Yeah, box guy. He's a box guy.
Which is why he fell. Parker Washington is more quick than fast. He brings some return potential. I love the selection of Christian Braswell. I said it after the Jacksonville Jaguars made it. I've watched this guy since he played at Temple. Transferred to Rutgers. Just had a knockout year. In 2022, you watch the film, you see the production. He's got terrific ball skills. This could be a major find. You know, the later guys, Hallett, Hodges, Vohacek, Parrish, you know, maybe you're looking at one or two guys that can make the depth chart as a backup. I would go with Hodges because he can play tackle. He can play guard. He's very athletic.
All right, let's go to a final team in the AFC South, the Tennessee Titans. Not nearly as many picks in this class, Tony. Peter Skoronski, solid as they come. They need offensive line help at pick 11 overall. Will Levis in round 2, I think good value. See what you can do. If he doesn't work out, It's only a second-round pick. You can move on from him quickly if you want. Tajay Spears in round three. I mean, if you listen to this, you know how much I love Tajay Spears. The quickness, the contact balance, the pass-catching ability. Round three out of Tulane. Good compliment to Derrick Henry. Josh Wiley, the tight end out of Cincinnati in round five, I thought was pretty good value. Then they got a developmental tackle in Jalen Duncan, who's a good athlete, in round six. And then Colton Dowell, wide receiver out of Tennessee Martin, in round seven.
I thought it was a terrific draft for Tennessee. Yeah. You know, Skronsky, is he a guard? Is he a tackle? He's a real good blocker. You're going to find someplace from the play up front. Will Levis, I mean, I was never a fan of Will Levis, and it's kind of ironic how Will Levis's draft journey mirrors Geno Smith, right? Didn't play in the Senior Bowl. People were talking about it as a first-round pick. You saw him there in the war room. He's sweating it out. He doesn't go in the first round. He goes in the second round. You know, note to quarterbacks, you know, who have questions about them in the pre-draft process, go to the Senior Bowl, go to the Shrine Bowl, and prove you know, show that you can play on the next level, or you're going to fall. I mean, Will Levis, in a lot of ways, is what happened to DeJuan Jones. Just made a lot of mistakes in the draft process. Tajay Spears, absolutely love him. There's some question about his knees. He's a terrific player. Josh Wiley, a year ago, we were talking about Josh Wiley as a potential day two pick. He goes back to Cincinnati. They get a new quarterback. The quarterback doesn't use the tight ends as much as Desmond Ridder. Josh Wiley falls, still a good player. Jalen Duncan fell for a couple of different reasons. Off the field issues, the fact that he never progressed as a run blocker, but he's a terrific pass-blocking left tackle, which is what the Tennessee Titans need. I don't know if he's going to be a starter day one, but he's got starting potential. I have absolutely loved the pick of Colton Dowell. He's a guy that I've watched the past couple of years at Tennessee Martin, went back for a senior season. He's a bigger, sure-handed receiver. He went to the University of Tennessee Pro Day and just lit it up. I mean, he showed he was much faster than people thought, and you watch the film. He was the go-to guy that Tennessee Martin offense that people could not stop.
All right, let's go to the AFC West now here, Tony. The Denver Broncos. Marvin Mims, I thought good value at pick 63. Not sure how he fits in a very crowded wide receiver room over there with Judy, Sutton, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler. Where's room for him? I think we need to wait and see. Drew Sanders, I thought good round three value. Fourth overall in that round, 67 in the draft. Good pass rush, can run to the ball, good athlete. Riley Moss, good corner, round three, good player. We've talked about him a lot. J.O. Skinner, I thought round six, solid safety, good selection. Then Alex Forsyth, a center with some upside, I think, out of Oregon in round seven to develop. Given they didn't have a lot of capital, Tony, I thought the Broncos did pretty well.
Especially with their first three picks, and really their two picks on day three. You know, Mims, you're right, it's crowded, but Mims is an explosive guy, a vertical threat, and he brings returnability. Drew Sanders is a great fit for that system. I think everybody, if they were honest with themselves, thought that Drew Sanders was a second-round pick. He falls into the third round, and I think he fell into the third round because when you watch the film, he seems a bit limited. I know he had a great pro day. I know he worked out well at the combine, but when you watch Drew Sanders, he's basically an in-the-box, up-the-field type of linebacker, struggles in coverage, and, you know, that you may have to take him off the field on third down in passing situations because he may be a liability. Riley Moss, we've gushed over him on this podcast literally from the get-go. J.L. Skinner, I think, fell because, number one, he's more of a straight-line safety. Two, he had the injury. Alex Forsyth is a guy I've absolutely loved for a couple of years now. Not the biggest guy. He's got a funky NFL body. He's got some back issues. Not a great athlete. But if you watch that Oregon offense, and I was at the first game when C.J. Stroud played against Oregon in 2021, the first home game of the first game of the year in Columbus, you could tell that Oregon offense basically runs around Alex Forsyth. He is the guy that makes it go, you know, making the line calls, just plays incredibly smart football. I was glad to see him get selected. You know, if he's healthy, he's going to make a roster because he is just a smart, tough. He's a thinking man's center, if you will.
All right, let's jump over here, Tony, to the Kansas City Chiefs. 31st pick in the first round, Felix Anaduke Uzomah, the edge rusher. Rashi Rice, I guess kind of a Juju Smith-Schuster replacement, given their play style maybe. Not super explosive, but he can catch the football. Wanye Morris, the offensive tackle in round three. Shamari Connors, cornerback, Virginia Tech in round four. B.J. Thompson, Stephen F. Austin, an edge in round five, and then Keandre Corburn, the big Texas defensive tackle in round six, and Nick Jones, the Ball State corner in round seven. Kind of a under-the-radar draft here for the Chiefs. Nothing that jumps out to me.
A draft that's got a lot of upside, but he's got a lot of questions and a lot of downside risk. I mean, you don't know which is where he's going to go. Dookie Azuma, I actually had the Chiefs taking him in round two. My Mara three-round mock, I had him going around two. The Chiefs, they take him around one. Guy's got a lot of upside, but he needs a lot of polish on his game. Rashee Rice, you know, he doesn't have great size, doesn't have great speed. He was a terrific pass catcher at SMU last year. Was the guy in that offense, despite the fact they had two receivers leave. One was drafted in 2022. The other son is an undrafted free agent. Some off-the-field questions. I guess the Chiefs felt comfortable with that. Wayno Morris, in my opinion, he's got great upside. A right tackle prospect who's very athletic. He's very explosive. He's got some off-the-field issues. But again, like Rashee Rice, I guess the Chiefs were happy with that. We're okay with that. If you get Wayno Morris to play up to his potential, you got a starting tackle. Chamari Connor, I like him more as a safety. I also like him as a seventh-round pick. B.J. Thompson is a tall, thin pass rusher, standover tackle, come out of the line of scrimmage. He's got to add bulk to his frame. I mean, he basically looks like a tall, thin, you know, forward in the NFL. Incredible athlete, incredibly productive, a lot of upside. He's just got to get bigger. Keel Colburn is a good fit in that system on the inside. He's a guy who 3 years ago, I thought, wow, this guy could be a day two pick. His game is kind of leveled off. He's, you know, your dancing bear type, if you will, in the sense that he's big, he moves very well, but he's very inconsistent. Nick Jones has got some upside as a dime back.
All right, let's go to the Oakland Raiders. Sorry, let's go to the Las Vegas Raiders here. Pardon me. They rolled the dice in this draft a little bit. Ha, ha, ha. Tyree Wilson, seventh overall pick, Texas Tech. Second round pick, Michael Mayer, good value out of Notre Dame there, the tight end. Two third round picks, Byron Young, defensive tackle version out of Alabama. Trey Tucker, who went ahead of Scott in that Cincinnati wide receiver core, which surprised me. Third round pick, 100 overall. Ja'Corian Bennett, round four pick, cornerback out of Maryland. Aiden O'Connell, developmental quarterback out of Purdue in round four. He fits that system well. Christopher Smith, who I think despite the testing, you look at his film, I think it's starting caliber film in round five. Then Amari Burney, linebacker, Florida, round six. And Nesta Jade Silvera, defensive tackle out of Arizona State in round seven.
You know, it's a solid draft. It doesn't inspire me. I don't think they did a great job with Tyree Wilson. You know, he fell because of the medicals. Is he healthy? Or is he going to show durability? He's got issues with his feet. He's got issues with his back. That can be dangerous moving forward. If he is healthy, they hit a home run here. Michael Mayer, he's not Rob Gronkowski, but he's a very solid two-way tight end as a pass catch and blocker. Byron Young in the third round, I thought was a bit head-scratching. He's a solid player, but he's not really a playmaker. Trey Tucker, like you said, going before his teammate Tyler Scott was a bit surprising. He brings some return specialists. I like Ja'Corian Bennett. Aiden O'Connor, I thought, was a fantastic pick in the fourth round. I mean, a guy who a lot of people think he could be one of the better quarterbacks to come from this draft. He's a mature guy. He's a smart guy. He's got the tools. He doesn't have to play right away. Completely agree with you on Christopher Smith. You know, you got to almost Ryan Branch-like in the sense that if you forget about the scout, if you forget about the testing numbers and you look at the film, he's a real good player. Amari Burney is a undersized, one-gap, run-and-chase linebacker. I thought Nesta Jade Silvera was a terrific pick in the seventh round. He's got good size. He's athletic. He's quick. He's explosive. He plays very hard. I expected him to go earlier.
All right, let's jump over. Final team in the AFC West, Tony. Let's talk a little bit about the Los Angeles Chargers here. Quentin Johnson, round one, wide receiver TCU. Tui Tuipulotu at a USC in round two. Deion Henley, the speedy linebacker at a Washington State in round three. Darius Davis, another TCU player, wide receiver round four. Jordan McFadden, he was a tackle at Clemson, probably a guard in the pros at round five. Scott Matlock, defensive tackle, Boise State around six. And then Max Duggan, quarterback, another TCU player, three of them in round number seven. It was fine, but again, nothing really jumps out to me here.
Yeah, I mean, if you develop Quentin Johnson and he's able to become a receiver rather than a big athlete on the football field, you know, they hit a home run with that pick, but sure, that's a ways before they get there. Tuipulotu, I mean, you know, he's a real good pass rusher. He's very athletic. He's very intense, but he's also very small. He was under 265 pounds. So, you know, where are they going to play him? I mean, they play a three-man front. Or are they going to stand him over tackle? Henley, as we saw at the Senior Bowl, phenomenal pursuit linebacker, phenomenal in coverage. During those one-on-one drills against the running backs and the tight ends, Henley was getting the better of every player, every offensive player on each and every rep. I thought he went in the, I thought he should have gone in the third round, which is where he went.
I'll tell you what, Tony, real quick. I did go back. I watched his tape on Henley. Really good in man. In zone, I'd like to see some better instincts there. So I think it depends how you use him too.
Darius Davis, small receiver, speedy guy. They selected him because of his return skills. He is just a game-changing return specialist. Absolutely agree with you on Jordan McFadden. I thought he was great value in the fifth round. College left tackle who projects the guard. Matlack is a try-hard guy in the middle. I'm glad to see Max Duggan get drafted. I mean, you know, Max Duggan, you don't know what you're getting from him except the fact that he's a gamer, he's competitive, and he goes 100%. So I'm glad he was selected to get a chance to be a backup in Los Angeles.
Tough son of a gun. All right, let's go to the NFC here, Tony. We'll try to pick up the pace here. We're more than half hour and about halfway through. Let's go Dallas Cowboys first. Here we're going alphabetical order for in each division. Mazi Smith definitely fills a need for them. Big plugger in the round one. Luke Schoonmaker, tight ends kind of got wiped out a little bit for them in the round two. That they did pick him ahead of Tucker Kraft, which I think surprised some people. DeMarvian Overshow in round three. Fast linebacker, pass rusher. We'll see how they use him. Viliami Fehoko, I know that's a guy you really like, Tony, in round four. Asim Richards, a big offensive tackle in round five. Then Eric Scott, cornerback, round six. Deuce Vaughn, the very tiny running back in round six. Great moment with his dad, who's an assistant scouting director for them. Got picked in round six, got to make the phone call. And then Jalen Brooks, wide receiver out of South Carolina in round seven.
Mazi Smith has always been one of my favorite. You go back to the very one of the first shows we did with Bruce Feldman when he was at the top of Bruce Feldman's freaks list. And I said at the time, coming into the season, I had Mazi Smith graded as a top 25 pick. So many things I like about him. He was the guy in the middle of that defensive line that opened up opportunities for Aiden Hutchinson, for David Ajabu, for Mike Morris. Schoonmaker, you're right. I mean, they kind of they lost that on Dalton Kincaid. They get Schoonmaker, who reminds me a lot of Dalton Schultz. I mean, he is a taller pass catcher, not a great downfield threat, but does a little of everything well. Overshawn is a real good Texas linebacker who plays incredibly hard, goes sideline to sideline, not bad in coverage. Fehoko could be a great value. I mean, you can play him at end. You can play kick him inside the tackle. He's a three-down player, and he adds a lot of intensity. Asim Richards is an underrated college left tackle who I believe they'll kick inside the guard. Eric Scott had a lot of momentum going, you know, through the 2022 season. Was not graded by scouts. Had a good year in 2022. Had a good Shrine game. He hurt his hamstring the first 40 he did in his pro day, which is why he felt he could have gone earlier. Deuce Vaughn, you know, a situational back, like you said, it was a great moment with his dad. Jalen Brooks, roll the dice on the seventh round. He never impressed me on film. Didn't run fast at the combine. We'll see what happens there.
All right, let's go to the New York Football Giants. Deontay Banks, they trade up one pick to get him in round one. John Michael Schmitz got to him in round two, the center. And by the way, Banks, a great fit with the press man scheme. Round three, they trade up a bunch to go get Jalen Hyatt. That's why they don't have a fourth round pick. Speedster out of Tennessee, good value there. Eric Gray, running back out of Oklahoma in round five. Good pass receiver, low center of gravity, quicker more than he's fast. And then they round out at the draft, Tony, with Trey Hawkins, cornerback, Old Dominion, Jordan Riley, big defensive tackle out of Oregon, and then Javarius Owens, a safety out of Houston.
Yeah, except for Hawkins and Jordan Riley, I thought this was a phenomenal job by the Giants. You know, you could really literally make the case that in Deontay Banks, John Michael Schmitz, and Jalen Hyatt, the Giants got three first-round picks because these guys at all points were considered first-round choices. You know, they get the bigger corner in Deontay Banks, who played great in 2022, basically just jumped onto the radar screen. You just have to hope that 2022 is the shape of things to come and not the exception to the rule. I believe it is the former. John Michael Schmitz, listen, I did three mock drafts this year. Every mock draft I did, I had John Michael Schmitz going to the Giants in the first round. I think he's incredibly talented. I think he's incredibly smart. He's a tough guy. He's a perfect fit for the Giants. Jalen Hyatt fell for a couple of reasons. Didn't run as fast as people thought at the combine. Didn't run at his pro day. Doesn't have an expanded route tree. Didn't interview well. But you watch the film, and you basically just see the ball being thrown downfield to number 18, and no one can stop him. That's what the Giants need. And good for the Giants because, you know, there was no number one receiver in this draft, and they need a number one receiver, but they get a guy who could potentially stretch the field. I really like the pick of Javarius Owens in the late rounds, in the seventh round, their last pick. I don't know that he's going to immediately fill the needed safety, but he's a guy that you can use sort of as a zone safety, up the field type safety, and he brings special teams value. I thought the Giants did a great job here. I'm getting Eric Gray as well, who was injured at the Senior Bowl. didn't really get to work out at 100%. And the one thing that we know is you go back the last 5 to 10 years, we've had a lot of Oklahoma running backs that have come out of the fourth and fifth round that went on to play incredibly well on Sunday.
No question about it. All right, let's go to the Philadelphia Eagles, Tony. They had Jalen Carter at 9, Nolan Smith at 30. Both those players were almost top. I think both guys were in my top 10, maybe top 12. Tyler Steen, offensive tackle, Alabama in round 3. Love Sidney Brown, the safety out of Illinois. They also had him in round 3. Keely Ringo, there are some legitimate questions, but round 4, with that athletic profile, roll the dice. They trade a pick from next year's draft to get him. Tanner McKee, quarterback depth, round 6 out of Stanford. And then Moro Jomo, who I thought was pretty good value as a defensive tackle out of Texas in round 7. As usual, the Eagles do really, really well.
Yeah, the rich get richer, right? I mean, that's what you got to say. But Jalen Carter, I mean, if they take him out of his element, if they get Jalen Carter to play up to his potential, I mean, this is a home run hit for a team that basically was, what, 45 seconds from winning the Super Bowl. Nolan Smith, we talked about Nolan Smith one of the first shows we did this year. He's a terrific linebacker. He's not an edge rusher. He's an outstanding linebacker. And the Eagles needed an edge rusher. They needed a linebacker. I think Nolan Smith can fit both needs. I wasn't as high on Tyler Steen as many, although he did get some late steam moving towards the draft. Sidney Brown, we saw him at the Senior Bowl. He was phenomenal. I mean, he was a real good player at Illinois, a real tough, nasty center fielder who really looked to intimidate opponents. Then he goes to the Senior Bowl, and he shows incredible ball skills. I mean, incredible ball skills, sort of like Jalen Petrie. So in round 3, this was an outstanding pick. Keely Ringo, I think you said it best. You know, what's the worst case with Keely Ringo? He's a backup. He used a fourth-round pick on him. Tanner McKee is a smart, heady quarterback, a lot different from Jalen Hurts, but the Eagles know how to develop quarterbacks. Ajomo's an athletic, intellectual guy that I think is a good fit. They're going to go to more of a 3-4 front, and I think Ajomo really is a guy who could back up for that team.
All right, let's go now to Washington, the last NFC East team, Tony. First-round pick, Emmanuel Forbes. They wanted a zone corner that can get the football. That's what they drafted, even though Christian Gonzalez was still there. Jartavius Martin, cornerback of Illinois in round 2, really trying to shore up that spot against 3 good offenses in the NFC East with really good receivers. Ricky Stromberg, center out of Arkansas, round 3. Him and Nick Gates will compete inside. Braden Daniels, guard at Utah, round 4. KJ Henry, round 5, edge rusher. I thought that was really good value there. Chris Rodriguez, the pounding running back out of Kentucky, him and Brian Robinson. Boy, who wants to tackle those two guys? And then you get to Andre Jones, the edge rusher out of Louisiana in round 7.
After Emmanuel Forbes, I thought they did a great job. I was never as high on Emmanuel Forbes as other people were. Obviously, I was not nearly as high on him as the Commanders were. I mean, yeah, he's a terrific cornerback. He's also 166 pounds. I don't know how, you know, he's going to hold up in the next level, especially in that Ron Rivera defense, which uses the cornerbacks to support against the run. We'll have to see. I'm either right or I look foolish. We'll see what happens with Emmanuel Forbes. After that, I thought they did a terrific job. Jartavius Martin, I had written an article that said, you know, he had been moving up draft boards. He was going to be selected earlier. They have him as a cornerback. He's basically a safety that you can line up over the slot receiver. He's sort of your nickel safety, if you will. And a guy who was not on the radar screen coming into the season and just had a knockout year in a Illinois secondary that was full of NFL talent. I thought Stromberg late in round 3 is exactly where I expected him to go. He's a tough slug it out center situation where there were more teams that needed centers than there were centers in the draft. Braden Daniels, very versatile offensive lineman out of Utah, very athletic, played left tackle, can play any of the interior positions, maybe except for maybe center. Even there are some people thinking of play center. KJ Henry was sort of the odd man out on that Clemson defense, but he's a quality player, can stand over tackle, can come out of a 3-point stance, had a good career at Clemson. You know, a guy who's very athletic, can change direction, make plays in backside pursuit. Thought Chris Rodriguez was a phenomenal pick in the 6th round. A big, tough, grinded out ball carrier who, if you watch the film, you know, Chris Rodriguez will carry 2 and 3 defenders and continue his run and pick up yardage. He's also a good pass catcher out of the backfield. But Andre Jones was real good value in the last round, too, as an edge rusher. Had an injury before the I think he pulled his hamstring, if I remember, while during the first running of his 40 at the combine. Never got fully healthy, was never able to really work out fully. But you watch the film, number 10 at Louisiana, he's constantly making plays on the ball. I thought this was an excellent pick in the 7th round.
All right, let's move on here to the Chicago Bears in the NFC North, Tony. Donnell Wright, they moved down one spot, get the big right tackle out of Tennessee. Gervon Dexter, the athlete in round two, needs to work on his get-off a little bit. Tyreek Stevenson, cornerback, Miami, a kind of a high upside guy with a lot of good traits in round two. Zach Pickens in round three. Couple round four picks, running back Roshon Johnson, wide receiver Tyler Scott. Thought they got some good value there. Noah Sewell in round five, I think for what he is, I think that's where you should pick him. Terrell Smith, I thought was really good value in round five. He has traits coming out all over the place there. Then Travis Bell, defensive tackle, round seven, and Kendall Williamson, defensive back in Stanford in round seven.
Yeah, one of my favorite drafts. I mean, they're building from the lines of scrimmage out, and I thought they did a good job. They needed offensive linemen. They're committed to Justin Fields. Well, you better get some offensive tackles. Darnell Wright was probably selected a little earlier for my liking than I had him on my board. I thought Broderick Jones was the better pick, but there were questions about Broderick Jones and Darnell Wright. You know, he is a tough, athletic, slug-it-out right tackle prospect. I like Gervon Dexter. He's very athletic. He's got terrific size. He's got terrific movement skills. Just got to learn to consistently play at a high level. Tyreek Stevenson, I mean, sort of the same in the sense that I've watched him since his days at Georgia. I thought he had great upside. He never really pulled it all together, and he can be all over the place. But if he learns to basically be more disciplined with his techniques and his playing style, you could have a potential starting cornerback in the third round. Absolutely love the selection of Zach Pickens. I mean, I think that Zach Pickens is better value in round three than Kalijah Kansi was in round one. We haven't even gotten to him in the sense that he's bigger. He's explosive. He's got a great first step. You can use him as a three technique tackle. He's got growth potential. I like the selection of Pickens a lot. I love the selection of Tyler Scott. I mean, a legitimate vertical threat, a terrific pass catcher who will also help as a return specialist. Noah Sewell, I thought, was great value in the fifth round. I disagree with you. I thought Sewell was worthy of a third round choice. He ran probably better than most people expected. He's been a smart, instinctive linebacker at Oregon. Obviously, the bloodlines are there. And then Kendall Williamson, Terrell Smith, you mentioned also, high upside, but needs a lot of polish on his game, sort of like Gervon Dexter in the second round. And Kendall Williamson is a downhill thumper at safety who is going to have to learn to play special teams to make an NFL roster.
Yeah, I don't think Sewell by any chance, by any means, was I thought it was good value. People talked about him as, you know, a round one pick and, you know, round two earlier. I thought that was rich. I think getting around five was good value, and he certainly could have been picked earlier than that. All right, let's go on to our next NFC North team. We'll go to the Detroit Lions here, Tony. You know, I wonder about the process, and we talked about that on Saturday's show. We don't need to do that again. But I think you really like the players, right? They just got really good players in non-premium positions. Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama. Jack Campbell, linebacker, Iowa in round one. Maybe a little rich, sure, but really good players. Sam Laporta, tight end, Iowa, ahead of Michael Mayer in round two. Brian Branch, safety slot corner, round two, Alabama, great. Hendon Hooker, developmental quarterback in round three, awesome. Broderick Martin in round three, maybe a little rich. Then Colby Swordsdale and Antoine Green to round it out, the offensive tackle and wide receiver.
Yeah, really, except for Branch and Hooker, I thought most of these guys were overdrafted. But if they turn out to be good players and they turn out to produce for the Lions, a team that's looking to take that next step and get into the playoffs and even go deep into the playoffs, then the gamble paid off. I mean, Gibbs, I knew that they liked him. I never thought in my life that they would have taken him with 12. I thought they would have traded down from 18 and then taken him. But Gibbs is a terrific ball carrier. I mean, he's explosive. He's faster than Bijan Robinson. He's an outstanding pass catcher out of the backfield. He's creative. I don't know that he's an every down ball carrier, but he's the type of guy who's going to get 15 to 18 touches a game as a ball carrier and as a pass catcher. Jack Campbell, you know, of the three linebackers, Trenton Simpson, Drew Sanders, and Jack Campbell, Campbell was always rated number one. He's a three down linebacker. He's tough. He's smart. He's good in coverage. He's solid in pursuit. He's good up the field, defending the run. I think he's going to be an immediate day one starter. Sam Laporta, same school, Iowa, been one of my favorite tight ends for the past 3 years. He's not as fast playing speed as Dalton Kincaid. He doesn't have the same 40 time, but he does. He just produces. I mean, he's out there catching the ball. He's a good blocker as well. Brian Branch, one of my favorite defensive backs in this draft. Terrific player at safety. Maybe a nickel corner. Good ball skills. Goes sideline to sideline, but he ran a 4.58 at the combine. And you can't take a defensive back who runs 4.58 in the early part of the draft. Hendon Hooker, I think, was great value. I mean, we talked about a team taking Hendon Hooker in the first round to get that fifth-year option on him. Well, I mean, the Detroit Lions, for all intents and purposes, could put him on the non-football injury list. doesn't play it next year, doesn't do anything. And they basically have him for 5 years because they take him off the non-football injury list and they have him for 4 more years. And they don't really need him to play because with Jared Goff there. Broderick Martin, I thought, was a major reach in the third round, more of a gap-occupying, zero-technique nose tackle type. Cody Sorstyle was a major reach. Antoine Green in the seventh round, I think it's good value. A bigger pass catcher who was a good complement to Josh Downs, a reliable pair of hands for Detroit.
No question about it. Again, I think they just got really good players. You could talk about the value of where they got them. All right, very Dan Campbell-y draft based on the type of guys that he drafted. All right, let's go to Green Bay here, Tony. Again, I think you got some good players, but I wonder about the process. Lucas Van Ness, round one, 13th overall, Iowa. Then they go for weapons like they always do on day two. Luke Musgrave, tight end, Oregon State. Jaden Reed, wide receiver, Michigan State. Both two second-round picks. Tucker Kraft, third-round pick out of South Dakota State. Really good value there. And then Colby Wooden, linebacker, Auburn. Sean Clifford, round five, Penn State quarterback. Not sure about that one. Dontavian Wicks, wide receiver, Virginia, round five. Carl Brooks, the non-combine invitee. The big defensive end, defensive tackle out of Bowling Green. Anders Carlson, a kicker out of Auburn. Carrington Valentine, cornerback out of Kentucky. Lou Nichols, running back, Central Michigan. Anthony Johnson, safety, Iowa State. Grant Dubose, wide receiver, Charlotte. Four seventh-round picks, two sixth-round picks, Tony. You don't have to go each one of those late picks one by one if you don't want to. You can highlight a couple of guys. Your thoughts on the Packers?
And Lucas Van Ness selection reminded me of when they selected Rashawn Gary. It's not a need. Where are you going to fit him? I know they got some guys there that are older, that are injured. Thought it should have been Jackson Smith the Jigba, but they seem allergic to selecting wide receivers in the first round. Musgrave and Tucker Kraft, the second and third round picks, I think they are guys that immediately improve the talent at the tight end position. Both guys are athletic. Both guys can catch the ball. Jaden Reed, a little bit smaller, but he's speedy. He's a good route runner. He catches everything that's thrown in his direction. And, you know, he brings special teams ability. They come back in round five and get Dontavian Wicks. They come back in round seven and got Grant Dubose, your bigger possession type of wideouts, who I believe will have an opportunity to make the roster. They take Colby Wooden in round four. Colby Wooden, 2 years ago when I watched him at Auburn, I think I said, this guy's going to be a top 45 pick. He's explosive. He's athletic. But he can rush the passer. His game leveled off. He never really elevated his game, which is why he's the fourth round choice. Sean Clifford, I thought, was a reach. If the Green Bay Packers don't select Sean Clifford in the fifth round, I don't think that Sean Clifford gets selected in the draft, period. He's smart. He's tough. He's just you know, he's a good college quarterback. I didn't project him all that well till Sunday. Carl Brooks is a very athletic, very explosive, very hardworking defensive lineman that I think is a good fit for their system. Carrington Valentine's got a lot of upside. He's got good length. Lou Nichols, again, like Sean Clifford, if the Packers don't draft him, I don't think he gets selected in a draft. Anthony Johnson is a tough downhill ball carrier that brings special teams ability, which is what the Packers want because the Packers special teams have been terrible the past couple seasons.
All right, let's go to the Vikings. Last NFC North here, Tony. I love the first pick, Jordan Addison. Nice fit across from Justin Jefferson. Mekhi Blackmon, round three. No second-round pick from the T.J. Hockenson trade. Cornerback out of USC. Jay Ward, cornerback out of LSU in round four. Jaquelin Roy, defensive tackle, LSU in round five. Jaron Hall, the quarterback, like him as a developmental guy in round five. And then I love Dwayne McBride in round seven. I know there was some non-football stuff with him, whether it's injuries or off-the-field stuff. But I thought to get a running back with that type of talent in round seven, I think you got to be thrilled with it.
Yeah, and that's exactly why he fell. I mean, a lot of scouts love the film, but there were concerns about the injuries and other things, which is why he just basically slipped through the cracks. Jordan Addison, I thought, was a great pick for them because of the need at the receiver position, because of the way he plays the game, and he's going to have an immediate impact with Kirk Cousins. Mekhi Blackmon, I think, was taken a little bit early, but I think he could be a real good nickel dime back at the next level. They take the two LSU kids, Jay Ward, Jaquelin Roy. I mean, you're looking at backups there. And I agree with you about Jaron Hall. I mean, eventually they got to prepare themselves to move on from Kirk Cousins. I don't know that Jaron Hall is the answer, but, you know, he's got some injury issues. You watch the film. He is a heady quarterback who protects the football, who can make all the passes, and he's got to learn to play from under center. That's a big issue with Jaron Hall.
All right, let's go NFC South, Atlanta Falcons, Tony. Bijan at eight. I think we know what Arthur Smith's going to want to do this year. Matthew Bergeron, second-round pick, really good guard tackle, flex, take, you know, play him anywhere, he'll be good. Zach Harrison in round three, the big edge defender out of Ohio State. Clark Phillips, the slot corner out of Utah in round four. I thought that was good value. And then DeMarco Helms, the safety out of Alabama, and Javon Gwynn, the guard out of South Carolina. And I think, you know, this just screams Arthur Smith physicality draft to me, Tony.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job. I mean, Bijan Robinson automatically improves the offense. He automatically is going to help Desmond Ridder. Hopefully it'll help to foster the development of Desmond Ridder, take some of the pressure off him. Bergeron, there was talk he could go late round one. The Cowboys were thinking about him. The Bengals were thinking about him. He ends up at the top of round two to the Falcons. You know, a developmental type of guy. It's got to get a little bit better as a run blocker. It's got to get a little bit stronger, but an athletic pass protector that you can use in motion. Zach Harrison, one of my favorite players in this year's draft. You go back to the Maryland game, basically sealed that game for Ohio State when he beat Jalen Duncan on back-to-back snaps deep in Maryland's zone. Tall, athletic, not tall and intense, not super athletic, but just knows how to use his hands and use his tools. Clark Phillips in the fourth round, I thought, was spectacular value. I mean, you're looking at potentially starting nickelback. DeMarco Helmans has got some limitations. He's more of a downhill straight line safety. Going to have to do well in special teams. Javon Gwynn is a developmental guy. He's short, but he's very athletic. He's very quick, and a lot of people think he can play center. At the very least, I think he's a practice squad player this fall.
All right, let's go to the Panthers. Tony, Bryce Young won overall. We've talked about him endlessly. Right pick. Jonathan Mingo, their second-round pick. Maybe a little high for me, but a good player. He ran well. A lot of size. Good target for Bryce Young. DJ Johnson, around three to Oregon. Tested really well, but he's a little bit older. Not sure that maybe that was a little bit rich for me. I like Chandler Zavala in round four out of NC State, the guard. I think he can be a starter in the league. Then I think Jamie Robinson in round five from Florida State, the safety, he can be a starter in this league too. So I think overall, nice job by Carolina, though I think they might have had a couple misses there in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did a good job. Obviously, everyone's going to look to Bryce Young, especially with that trade and the draft picks that they gave away to move from 9 to 1 to get Bryce Young. You know, not just Bryce Young as a rookie, but the durability and the longevity of Bryce Young is something you got to look at. I like Mingo. I had Mingo graded a little bit later, but still, you bring in a new quarterback. In order to get that quarterback, you trade away your number one receiver. Mingo is a nice-sized receiver who catches everything thrown to him, knows how to separate, ran much faster than the people expected at the combine. I like DJ Johnson. I had DJ Johnson graded as a third-round choice. Yeah, he may be older, but you watch the film. He's a terrific pass rusher who's very athletic, who's got decent size, who can get out in space and pursuit and make plays. Chandler Zavala, you know, was a guy who made a late charge up draft boards, wasn't invited to the combine, had a good 3 days of practice at the Shrine Bowl. He's a guy who's got upside. He's got to polish his game. Jamie Robinson, I mean, I always had Jamie Robinson as a day three pick. I had him as a fourth rounder. People said day three. He is what he is. He's a smart, he's like the Chris Smith of Georgia, who we talked about early. Similar type of player. Not very athletic, but smart, tough, and doesn't have mental lapses on the field. Always puts himself in the right place to make plays on the ball, run or pass.
All right, let's go to the New Orleans Saints here, Tony. Brian Brzee, one of the classic Saint picks early. Isaiah Foskey, another classic Saint pick early. Ken J. Miller, running back at TCU, good compliment to Alvin Kamara. Kamara also potentially facing that suspension. Nick Saldivari, guard out of Old Dominion. A lot of people really like him. They moved up top around four to select him. Jake Haener, quarterback. They probably see some Drew Brees notes there. Jordan Howden, safety out of Minnesota in round five. And then one of my favorite value picks of the draft, A.T. Perry in round six. Big, great tracking the ball deep. I know he was in kind of a rudimentary offense. Good hands. Needs to get a little stronger. But I thought, you know, great value pick for them in round six.
And ran faster, I believe, than anybody thought he was going to do at the combine. I'm surprised he fell this early. You know, you go to Brian Brzee, a favorite of mine. You can look at the 2022 film and pick holes in Brian Brzee's game. You got to look at what went on with his sister, younger sister tragically passing from brain cancer. He had the kidney infection. Go back early on, and you would have thought that Brian Brzee was a top 10 pick. I believe in the former when it comes to Brian Brzee. Foskey, a good pass rusher who's got to really develop an entire game. Kendre Miller, a lot of teams liked him. A lot of teams said he was going to be a third-round pick, and he was a third-round pick. A lot of lost out because he hurt his knee against Michigan in the semifinal game, did not play in that championship game against Georgia, probably for the better the way TCU got steamrolled. But he's a good interior runner who can catch the ball out of the backfield. Salvary of Old Dominion, a versatile guy, a college tackle who projects to guard. Haener, I don't know. I think Haener's just – I like Haener as a college quarterback. I think he's a tremendous short and intermediate range passer. He sees the field incredibly well. He just doesn't have the arm to play on Sunday. He's just another guy in that quarterback room. I hope he does well. Howden's a tough safety, more of a straight line zone type safety, but someone who I believe will add value on special teams.
All right, let's go Tampa Bay here, Tony. They really wanted to secure their game up front. I think they did that. Kalijah Kansey, the very quick guy. If you're going to put a small guy next to somebody, put him next to Vita Vea. So I think that'll work. Cody Mock, the versatile offensive lineman around two from North Dakota State. Play him guard, play him center, take your pick. Yaya Diaby, who I think is a very talented edge rusher, round three, Louisville, nice pick. Shavassier Dennis, the linebacker out of Pittsburgh in round five. Payne Durham, the kind of just solid, do-everything tight end from Purdue in round five. Then they rounded out their draft with Josh Hayes, defensive back, Kansas State. Trey Palmer, I think, is an upside pick in round six. And then I love Jose Ramirez out of Eastern Michigan. I'm surprised he got all at around six. I think he's a pretty talented pass rusher.
Very much on defense, anyway, a Todd Bowles, you know, inspired draft. A lot of quick one-gap type players. You talk about Kansey. You talk about Jose Ramirez. You talk about Yaya Diaba. These guys are athletic. They're explosive. They're first-step guys. But, you know, they need people around them to help them to occupy the blockers so they can make plays. Cody Mock, I like that pick for no other reason. You look at Tampa Bay, you look at the incredible success that organization has had in developing small school offensive linemen. And I always believe there's something that, like I said earlier, some teams just can't hit on a position, such as the Baltimore Ravens in the first round at receiver. There were some franchises that just do a great job at certain areas. You look at Tampa Bay and the way they develop small school offensive linemen. Payne Durham, favorite of mine, you know, not the fastest guy, but a terrific two-way tight end, terrific blocker, who, while he's not going to get down the field as a pass catcher, will come away consistently with the ball in a crowd. Trey Palmer, I agree with you, is a guy who's a track athlete learning to become a receiver. I was very happy to see Josh Hayes be selected in the draft. I know a lot of people don't know about Josh Hayes. I watched him back of his days at North Dakota State. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's smart. He's instinctive. He finds the ball in the air. I think you could use him as a dime back, as a nickel safety, and to play special teams. I was very happy to see this pick because a lot of people didn't even know who the heck Josh Hayes was.
All right, let's go now to the Arizona Cardinals, Tony. I thought they had a really nice draft. Paris Johnson, they trade down, trade back up, offensive tackle, Ohio State. B.J. Ojulari, 10th pick, second round. He's going to be a good pass rusher in the NFL. Garrett Williams, corner, Syracuse, probably goes higher if not for the injury. He goes in the third round. Michael Wilson, again, an injury guy out of Stanford, but very talented. Great, the senior bowl in round three. John Gaines in round four, the big guard out of UCLA. Clayton Toon, I think a talented developmental quarterback in round five. Owen Popo, the linebacker out of Auburn, super fast, run and hit. Keitro Clark, we talked about him at the Shrine game, Tony, really fast cornerback, slot guy, and then Dante Stills out of West Virginia to round it out.
Yeah, Paris Johnson, I had the Cardinals taking Paris Johnson, but I had him taken with the third pick. They did even better. They traded out, got a bunch of draft picks, traded back in and get, you know, a guy who can protect Kyler Murray's blind side for, you know, the next 10 years. I think he's got great upside. I thought his film got better and better, better each week and during the 2022 season after he made the transition from guard to tackle. You know, left tackle is a priority in the NFL draft. That's why Paris Johnson went so early. I thought he deserved it. B.J. Ojulari had struggled with injuries in the pre-draft process, but you watch him. He's got to get a little bit bigger. He's got to get a little bit stronger, but he's a very athletic guy who can rush the edge, get up the field and harass the passer, or get out in space and make plays. Garrett Williams, I agree with you. I mean, Garrett Williams, during the first half of the 2022 season, you look at him and you say, this is a top 45 guy, had that knee injury, which set him back. Michael Wilson, not the fastest guy in the world, but as we saw at the Senior Bowl, runs great routes and can't be covered. John Gaines is a developmental offensive lineman. He's got great upside. He's very athletic. He's just got to learn to, you know, really develop a complete game. Toon, developmental quarterback. I mean, you're really not going to do anything with Kyler Murray there, especially with the contract that they signed him to. But Poe went much later than I thought he would. An undersized running chase linebacker. Cottrell Clark, in my opinion, could be one of the steals of the draft. I mean, Cottrell Clark is a starting nickelback early in his career, had a great Shrine Bowl, had a tremendous combine, was really good at Louisville, I'm surprised he fell this deep. I thought he should have gone two rounds later. Dante Stills is a guy who's got decent size, decent athleticism, and has got decent film. If he puts it all together, he could be a good value pick late in the draft.
All right, let's go to the Rams here, Tony. And I'm not you don't have to go through every individual guy. There's so many picks late. Ooh. I'll run through them for you real quick. Steve Avila, guard, TCU, their only second-round pick. A pair of third-round picks, Byron Young, edge, Tennessee. Kobe Turner, defensive tackle, Wake Forest. Round four, Stetson Bennett, quarterback, Georgia. Round five, Nick Hampton, edge, Appalachian State. Warren McClendon, offensive tackle, guard, maybe moves – offensive tackle, Georgia, maybe moves to guard. Davis Allen, athletic tight end out of Clemson. Another round five, Puka Nacua, wide receiver out of BYU, who has some talent but some injury issues. Round six, Trey Tomlinson from – cornerback, TCU. He's somebody that's probably a slot in the NFL, but talented. O'Shawn Mathis, round six, Nebraska edge. Zach Evans, high upside running back from Mississippi in round six. Then three round seven picks, Tony, Ethan Evans, Jason Taylor, and Deshaun Johnson.
I like the pick of Avia, can play center or guard, had been rising up draft boards. Not surprised he went this early. He's a strong power gap guy who showed at the combine. He's got decent movement skills. Byron Young of Tennessee, I thought, was another terrific pick. The edge rusher, you can stand him over tackle. You can have him come out of a three-point stance. He's very explosive, very athletic, had a good senior bowl, had a terrific career at Tennessee. I think they drafted a lot of the same guys. Kobe Turner in the third round was a little bit early for my taste, but then they take Deshaun Johnson from Toledo in the seventh round, Mr. Irrelevant, I should say. I like Johnson a lot, but they're the same type of players. They're quick, one-gap defensive tackles. You know, granted, you don't know what the way the board's going to fall, but Kobe Turner in the third round was very early. Stetson Bennett went earlier than I thought. Nick Hampton, I thought, was great value. An edge rusher, an undersized edge rusher who's going to stand over tackle. McClendon, Warren McClendon Jr.'s got a good amount of upside as a right tackle. Nacua, I think, is a reliable receiver. He's a smart receiver. He's not fast. He's not quick, but he just gets the job done. I love Hodges Tomlinson. If Hodges Tomlinson is the Bryce Young at the cornerback position in the sense that if he was 5 inches taller and a little bit heavier, we'd be talking about him as one of the great cornerbacks. You watch the film for 3 years now at TCU. He was an outstanding cornerback with terrific ball skills. He's 5'7" and a half, though. That's why he fell. O'Conn Mathis showed good things as a pass rusher at TCU early in his career. Then he made the transfer. He transferred to Nebraska, which is like occupational suicide as far as I'm concerned, and his game leveled off. Zach Evans, I was never very high on Zach Evans. He seems a bit one-dimensional, but the sixth round is good value for him. Jason Taylor is a guy who, if he learns to play to his athletic numbers, his testing numbers, he could be a real good safety. On film, he's more of a downhill straight line type of player.
All right, let's go now to the 49ers, who did not have picks in rounds one or two, the Christian McCaffrey trade. Jair Brown was their first pick, safety out of Penn State. Then they pick a kicker without a lot of draft capital in round three with Jake Moody, good player. Cameron Latu, another third-round pick at a tight end out of Alabama. Thought that was a little rich. Daryl Luter Jr. in round five, Robert Beal Jr. in round five, D. Winters, linebacker, TCU in round six, Braden Willis, tight end, Oklahoma, round seven, Ronnie Bell, wide receiver, Michigan, round seven. Thought that was good value. And then Jalen Graham, linebacker, Purdue in round seven, Tone.
Probably my least favorite draft of them all. I mean, Jair Brown, he's a solid safety. He's a heady guy, but he's slow. Jake Moody, you take a kicker that early in the third round, you better start booming some kicks through the uprights for you. You're going to take grief for that. Cameron Latu, I mean, a nice number two tight end. He's not very fast. He's not a down-the-field type of guy. I do like Luter, who's got solid ball skills as a potential nickelback. I do like Robert Beal, who could be a situational pass rusher. I do like D. Winters, who's a one-gap defensive end. Braden Willis, if he gets healthy, you know, has got some upside, especially in that Niner system. Ronnie Bell, if he ever puts it together, he's got some upside. Jalen Graham, I like as a one-gap linebacker. But again, I think he wouldn't have, if the Niners had not selected him, he would not have been drafted.
All right, absolutely. I'm with you on that. All right, let's jump to Seattle Seahawks here, Tony. I thought they had a really nice day. Devon Witherspoon, fifth overall. Jackson Smith and Jigba, 20th overall, top corner, top wide receiver. Derek Hall, speedy pass rusher in round two. Zach Charbonnet, not sure why you need a running back after you picked a really good player in the second round at Michigan State last year. They do it anyway, but good player. Anthony Bradford, powerful guard at LSU in round four. Cameron Young, defensive tackle, Mississippi State round four. The big defensive end, Mike Morse, out of Michigan in round five. Olu Oluwatimi, I think round five is a good sweet spot for him. Maybe you can develop into a starting center. And then Jarek Reed and Kenny McIntosh, who I thought was a really good value at running back in round seven.
Interesting draft. I mean, Weatherspoon, obviously they saw something in him that they liked. They snagged him away from the Detroit Lions, who had jumped on him with the sixth pick, and then Detroit trades down. The most polished cornerback in this year's draft, no doubt about it. I know about the most athletic, but the most polished, and you can use him in a variety of systems. Smith Njigba, I thought was great value. I think he's going to be day one starter. I think he's a great complement to DK Metcalf in that offense. Another pair of reliable hands for Geno Smith. Derek Hall, early second round was a bit early for my likes, but I think Derek Hall is more than an edge rusher. You know, he's like Nolan Smith in the sense that he's a terrific linebacker, can make plays in space, can make plays in pursuit, and can also rush the passer. Charbonnet, as you said, I mean, great player, questionable pick. And then they come back in the seventh round to get Kenny McIntosh.
Of course they do.
Anthony Bradford's a solid interior lineman. Cameron Young, I thought they selected a little bit early. More of a zero technique type of a defensive tackle in the style that he plays. They take the two Michigan guys, Mike Morris, who was injured and never, got to test for scouts at 100%. You watch the film. He's a terrific pass rusher at times. Oluwatimi went exactly where I had him going. People thought third round. I actually had him as a early sixth round choice. Tough, smart, great story, but not really big, not really powerful. You know, a try hard guy who could make it. Jarek Reed had a great pro day. Jarek Reed is a little bit smaller. He's more of a straight line safety. He's sort of an enigma. He's a small guy who's very athletic, but he's best playing downhill. He's going to have to make it on special teams.
Tony, good stuff, my friend. We'll be back next week. What do you got?
We got through them all.
We did, absolutely. We'll be back next week with a much shorter episode, I promise, looking ahead to the 2024 class. And we'll see you then on draft season. Enjoy your week.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.